God gave me a couple of things I just want to share. Promise, guys, sharing this, I want to be really quick. He gave me a picture of two bookends. And I think that each bookend will be for a number of people. And my sense is that one or two of them may be out. And you may think, this resonates for so-and-so. Well, then you can direct them to the talk this morning. Are we recording, Chris? Great. So the first bookend that I felt God show me was isolation. And people may be isolating themselves because they don't understand where they fit, or they don't think what they've got to offer is of any worth, or that it won't be recognized. And God doesn't want you to isolate yourself. Now, the challenge is, it's always painful when you decide to no longer be isolated, because in some ways, it's a comfort zone to be isolated. You kind of know it, you're familiar, it feels safe. And scary as it seems, even the thought pattern of being isolated becomes a comfort, because your brain recognizes it's a familiar thought and is comforted by it. So to move from isolation to not being isolated, that's going to be painful. And I believe for some people it'd be really easy for you to stay isolated. God does not want you to be isolated. And in fact, the enemy will use the idea that this is a family church as a way for you to stay isolated. Because surely if this is a family church, I wouldn't feel isolated. Don't allow the enemy to use that. The other end, the other bookend, and the analogy I got was kind of a substandard football team. And you are the prima donna. You are actually above the rest. You are better in what you have to bring, what you have to do. And as such, you don't join in with the team practice. Because what's the point? You know, it would be wasting my time. They can't teach me anything new. I can't do anything different. And God would say, it's more important for you to be part of the team than it is for you to be good. You know? And even though it feels like, well, I'm wasting my time, I can just be picked at the 90th minute to score the goal, that isn't God's heart. And I just realized, because I've got these two things set separately, they are bookends. And some people will feel isolated, and God wants to bring you in. And some people will feel like, I don't need anybody, and God wants to bring you in. And within that being brought in, you deciding to be brought in, we are family. Is it all right? Amen. Richard. Great to come and hear you share.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Hey, here we go. Okay, so I've been asked to share for the next 10 minutes. What I feel God is saying about outreach within SCF in the coming year as we enter into 2016. So does this clicker work? Brilliant. So I thought we'd just have a look back at 2015, and it looks a bit not much on there, but believe me, it's been a really, really, really busy year this year in terms of the activity levels within this building. And I'm sure you've all got amazing testimonies of what God is doing in the places that he's placed you. And it's been such a busy year. We've ran regular outreach cafes in the park throughout April, May, June and July. We were so blessed to have OM come over and serve us and reach out into our community. And we really, I believe, we're beginning to make ground within this area that people are beginning to see. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 to be a city on a hill. Well, I want people to see the bridge as a city on a hill at the centre of Shirley Park, that people will know who we are, that they will come to us because they want to have an encounter with God. Okay, so we're beginning to make roads. We ran an Alpha course this year as well, which was fantastic. And, you know, whenever you get the opportunity for non-Christians to come in and journey through a course and hear about Christ, that can only be a good thing. And we had people coming in and hearing about Christ for the first time, and we was able to facilitate and have great discussions. So it was great to have an Alpha course. So firstly, I just want to thank everyone who's been part of what's happened last year, whether you were serving on Alpha, OM, or the cafes. But also, I know within your own spheres of influence, in your workplaces, your homes, your schools, your colleges, your neighbourhoods, okay, the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And we should expect that we're going to look a bit different to everyone else. Okay, and people are going to ask questions. So that's looking back at 2015. And I want to look forward at 2015, 2016. And I've spent some time praying and asking God where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do, what direction does he want us to take. And I think when I first was appointed outreach pastor, I really felt strongly God was telling us a number of things that we were to do, a number of things that we were to make sure we were doing every single year. And the top one was make the most of the location. We are not here by mistake. This building is not in this exact position by mistake. I remember Douglas bringing up the point that we're between undertakers and a park. So we're between life and death where we're positioned, but also at the edge of the park. Okay, a huge, stonking, big building at the edge of the park. And we need to make the most of our location because God has placed us here for a purpose. And last year, we did that throughout the summer months, April, May, June, July. And we reached out into the park. Well, we want to increase that in 2016. Okay, we did once a month last year. But we want to increase that, and I'm not entirely sure what that's going to look like. But if that park is busy in the summer months or in the half terms or weekends when the weather is good, we want to have our doors open so that people can come in and we can serve them. They can find out who we are and they can have an encounter with God. We want to make the most of this location throughout 2016. The other thing I really felt God was saying to me when I first took on my role as outreach pastor was make sure you make the most of the seasons. And I remember having a conversation with Ben and talking about how in the 80s, Billy Graham could come over here and sell out Villa Park and people would go and hear the message of Christ and lives would be transformed. But we're now having generations growing up who have never heard about Jesus, who have never even have a Bible in their home, or grandparents or generations who have gone to church. But we have an opportunity, okay, that we still celebrate, although it looks a lot different to the original meanings of what Christmas is, but it's still Christmas. Christ is still within the celebration of Christmas, and we know the true meaning. And it's when people are more open to hear what that true meaning is that we need to make the most of the season. And the same goes with Easter. That we can do things and share with our friends and family around that time, specifically about the message of Christmas and the message of Easter. And God clearly said, make the most of the seasons. And next week, I'm going to share, I'm preaching next week, and I'm going to talk about what that really looks like. What does that really mean, making the most of the seasons? And we're going to explore that. The reason 2015 is there is because, for looking forward, because we haven't reached the end of 2015, and we've got Christmas coming up, so we want to make the most of the season. We want to make the most of Christmas this year. And Christmas came to the Pringle household yesterday because the tree went up. Is that too early? Yes. I don't care. That's all right. the Christmas decorations are up. Okay? So Christmas has come. I love Christmas. Absolutely love it. So we want to make the most of this Christmas. And in my newsletter, I've wrote a short piece, okay? Because this Christmas, I want to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you to reach out to the people that God has put us an influence over, okay? Whether that's in your homes, your colleges, your workplaces, your neighborhoods, okay? You know where that is. I remember having a chat with Andrea, I don't know if she's in here, but she said, the people that I spend time with, the people who I swim with in the morning, that is my sphere of influence. That's where I spend time with people. Okay, for you, it might be your workplaces. It might be your neighborhoods. It might be the group that you go along to. But we are all in a place that God has placed us in where we can influence people because the Holy Spirit is within us. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We should expect that people will be asking us questions about what is different about you. What is it about you that's different? And we can answer and tell them about what Christ has done in our lives. So I want to encourage you this season, this Christmas, to be intentional and to do something which stretches you. I want to encourage you to do something which stretches you. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. That's for you to decide. But I want you to do something which you haven't done before, which puts God totally in control, where we step out of our own ability to manage a situation and control something and do something uncomfortable, where the Holy Spirit absolutely has to show up. And it will be down to you to decide what that is. And my encouragement is to pray, what can I do? What can I do? And the Holy Spirit will tell you. And don't be surprised if it frightens you, scares you, if it seems big. But that's the point. Because I think sometimes we forget the stories of Daniel, of David, etc., etc., throughout the Old Testament, where men of God and women of God made a step into something which they could not influence the outcome of unless God showed up. And that's what I want us to do this Christmas. I am rubbish at reaching out to my neighbours, I'll confess. But this year, I really want to be intentional about what we're going to do in our neighbours. I'm telling you now because I'll have to do it then as well. Okay, so we're going to make hundreds of mince pies, or we might buy them depending on the time we've got. And we're going to knock on every door on our road. Not okay, maybe 30, 40, we have not decided that anyway. It's a massive road, and we're going to knock on a load of doors, okay, on our road, and we're going to hand-deliver mince pies and hand them cards to telling them that we're praying for them this Christmas, and we're praying for them throughout the new year, okay. Now, for somebody who's not very good at interacting with your neighbours, who've lived there for 5 years, okay, that's a big thing, and I feel massively uncomfortable about that, okay. But I want to give God the opportunity to work and do something outside of my comfort zones. Because that is when, you know, Paul tells us that Christ's power is made am I wrapping up? Yeah. Christ's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. Okay, so I want to put myself in a position where I feel weak, because that's when Christ's power will shine through. Okay, now, when I pray particularly, I really felt particularly, God was saying about 2016, this final point here, and it's making the most of where we are. Okay, and that will link into what I've just encouraged you to be and do. But I really want us to be purposeful. I want to this year encourage you, challenge you, equip you to be lights within your areas of influence. And as I was praying about this, I kept hearing Costa. And I was like, I started praying against the flesh. I was saying, no, more of the spirit. This is obviously a temptation. For those of you who know me, know I've got two loves in my life, aside from God and Becky and friends and family, and that's coffee and fish and chips, okay? So I was thinking, this is an attack. It's distracting me from praying. But I kept hearing Costa, Costa, Costa. I was like, okay, maybe there's something in this. Maybe it's not just my desire for Costa. And I just felt, I don't know if you've noticed, but Costa recently has expanded. I challenge you to drive 5 minutes without seeing a sign for Costa, because they are everywhere, not just on high streets, but all over places that you wouldn't expect them to be. And you know, this, we are going to make the most of this location. We're going to make the most of this location. But this, it will not be necessarily the epicenter of our outreach work. All of us are spread across Shirley and Birmingham, and we have much further reach when we're out there displaying who Christ is in the people that we're around. And I was thinking about Costa, because we've got a Costa on Shirley High Street. I'll be really quick. We have a Costa on Shirley High Street, and they serve coffee, okay? They will still be serving coffee, and the same of the bridge is serving coffee. But Costas are popping up in places that you wouldn't expect them. So you might go to the petrol station, and there's a Costa there. You might go to Next down there, and there's a Costa there. I went to school and college the other day, and there was a Costa in there. You know, people might think they can avoid finding out who God is and having an encounter with God by avoiding coming to church. In the same way, people think, oh, I can avoid going to Costa, actual Costa, because I don't like coffee. But what Costa have done is they've put Costas in places where you wouldn't expect Costas. Does this make sense? In the same way that people might want to avoid church, not find out about Christ, but we are in the petrol stations, we're in the Next shops, we're in Waterstones, we're in schools and colleges, okay? I can share more about this next week because I'm preaching, I won't have been. But you get the point, to be out there, okay, that's it. So, prayers for 2016, what I really think would be great, you know, I want to pray that we love those around us. Paul tells us in Corinthians that if we don't have love, we're just a clashing cymbal. And I've recently been praying on my way to work for the people I work with that I love them first and foremost. Because if we don't have love for people, then there's no point. So let's pray for those people that we love them. Let's pray that we are continually filled and guided by the Holy Spirit, and that will give us boldness. Again, without the Holy Spirit, it's a waste of time, whatever we do, okay? Because we need him desperately. We would make the most of this Christmas season. And finally, we will live with eternity in our hearts. You know, that's one prayer I've been praying recently, that I will live with eternity in my heart. Because you know what? When we live with eternity in our hearts, we are bolder, we are more effective, we are more willing to do the unthinkable and step out that boat, because we know that fear has been conquered and death has lost its sting. Amen. And in the same way, having eternity in our hearts, he will give us...
Right, you're now going to pray. I love you. Do you love his enthusiasm? I'm wrestling it off you. Okay, we're going to pray. Now, we've almost got no time to pray, so you're going to gather around, okay? Anybody in this point is going to do point one? Point one. Point two. Oh, hold on. This isn't going to work. Point. Point one. Point two. Point three. And all at the back, point four. Is that all right? If you gather around, let's just pray. Point one. Point two. Point three. And we're going to come to the back, Rich. You and I, we're going to pray about point four. Gather around, everyone. You can break out your rose. Don't walk away, Tricia. We're going to pray. Where are we? We're point four. We're going to pray on point four. Yeah? We would live eternity in our hearts.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Apologies that he's quick. Richard, if you could return the mic. Don't know where it went. We'll put these slides up on the... No, there's another one. We'll put these slides up on the net. You can download them. We're the talk. It would be great in your home groups. Perhaps you can pray a little bit more. Note to self, put Richard on last. Mandy, would you come and share? Take your time. Obviously not 21 minutes, but
okay, am I on? Right, yes. Well, 10 minutes isn't very long, is it, really, to share what God's put on my heart, but I'll try my best. So I have got a script, okay? Back in October, James shared his vision for the 8 to 18s. We share a vision, and it's the same as a vision as the church. And I just want to talk a little bit about what that means specifically for children under the age of 7. I'm following on from and building on the foundations laid by Mary, who, if you don't know her, she's a very hard-working and talented individual. So the foundations are there in place. Our children learn a lot at school, but the focus is very much on academic subjects. The teaching they receive about Christ is just a very small part of what they learn, and it's taught alongside teachings about other faiths. They are portrayed as equally valid alternative choices. We want to teach our children the truth. We want to teach them the truth about Jesus and what it is to be a disciple of Christ. As leaders within the children's work, we disciple the children and we walk with them through good times, through tough times, on their Christian journey. Our aim is to inspire a thirst for God's word and to know that it's truth. We want them to understand that it's a safe place to explore their faith and a place to be real. They're encouraged to ask questions and we support them from taking those very first steps in faith to being able to make a commitment to Christ. Our heart is to encourage these children to discover their gifting, to develop these gifts and use them for God's glory. And that will happen as we come alongside them and encourage and support them. It's a tough world for them as it is for us. What we teach can often go against what's now considered to be normal. And they have to be strong, stand firm, and we want to equip them to do this. They are salt and light, just as we are salt and light. We aim to make the most of the seasons. At the end of October, we held a light party. And it's a time when the focus is on Halloween and dark things, and it can be difficult for our children and their parents and carers trying to make decisions of what to do and what we get involved in. I mean, you only have to look at the shops to see, and the TV, magazines and social media, just to see how Halloween has become a thing to celebrate. At the light party, we celebrated Jesus being the light of the world. We talked about how light shines in the darkness and how, as Christians, we carry that light within us. The atmosphere in the light party was fantastic and we had lots of fun. There's just one of the photos taken. I mean, they went out into the park and there's a lady who actually was so impacted by what our children were doing that she stepped out and wrote a letter and took that time and trouble to thank us. We really appreciate the people that serve on the team, whether it's serving regularly on a rota or whether it's at one-off events or just being available to stand in occasionally. Our strength is actually in the team. Things couldn't happen without people giving of themselves to serve. Just for Sunday morning groups to happen, at the moment, I need 24 people. And that's just for the under sevens. That excludes the overcomers and the youth. And I just think back to when I first joined the Rota. I'd not long been born again, and I felt that I had nothing other to offer than just the heart to serve. I stepped out and believed God would equip me. And I was so blessed and so enjoyed being with the children that whatever my circumstances, I looked for a way in which I could serve with the children. Seasons change. People's commitment varies. Many on the team serve in other areas in the church too, and the team needs to be large enough to accommodate this. We want our relationship with Jesus to be the centre of everything that we do. As children grow in their relationship with Jesus, we walk together. They grow in relationship with each other and with leaders too. And relationships take time. It's really good for us to have time in the week as well as on a Sunday. Jump is the after-school club for children from reception to year two. So that's kind of infant school age. A number of our regular attenders at Jump are not SCF children. We believe God brings who he wants to bring. This is a place where children can learn about Jesus, build relationships in an atmosphere of fun. And, rather like home group, it's a place where relationships can really grow. For young children to come into the kingdom, we need to build relationships with the parents and carers. On a Tuesday morning, we host a breastfeeding cafe. It's run by trained midwives and NHS-trained peer support mentors, and they're recruited from the cafe itself. It's a real lifeline for new mums. The birth of the baby is a life-changing event, and it can be a very difficult time. These mothers have many needs, and it's not all about feeding. It's a place they can come for help and support and understanding. Often this just involves welcoming them, making a drink, and listening to their experiences and challenges. The midwives and the peer mentors will answer all the difficult questions. It's just about being there, about meeting needs and being kind. It's an opportunity to be a positive witness, to encourage, to be salt and light. There's an increase in women that are parenting alone. Sometimes they need somebody to talk to. It's not always about difficulties. Sometimes they want to share a milestone. The first time the baby rolls over. The first time they hear the baby laugh or cry. First time they cut a tooth or they smile. And they just want to share these with people. For toddlers, we have stay and play. And this group's been running now for more than 8 years. And there's a morning and afternoon session. And Chris aims to provide a welcoming, fun environment, a place for parents and carers, grandparents. And she wants them to play alongside their children. We just offer the facilities. And parents support each other. Stay and play is popular. We have regular attenders. People like being here. There's something a bit different about what we offer. And there's something about being in this atmosphere. It's another opportunity for us to reach out. We pray with people too. Down to the time in the stay and play, it's mainly, but not exclusively, women that come here. Ben's first experience with SCF was through stay and play. And Steve Cox has faithfully served since it alongside Chris since it first started. As funding to secular children's centres decreases and these services are being wound up, there's potential for us here to offer more. How else can we meet the needs of the community? What can we offer for dads, for working mums? How else can we reach these children that don't know Jesus? Being church family is important and requires relationships that link within the whole church. We want the children to know they have a role and they are part of God's kingdom. At Jump, we encourage SCF children to share what they've learnt on a Sunday morning with the other children in the group, and then we go on to develop the theme. This Christmas, I'll be pleased there'll be a group of children singing and handing out mince pies at Lively Hearts. Older children and youth regularly serve with the younger children. At Jump, we currently have 8 children and youth that work alongside the adults. They are being encouraged to grow as leaders, to develop their gifting and take more of a role. At the light party, it was great to see older children and youth in action. They provided the worship team. They helped throughout the event, encouraging the little ones in teen games and crafts, and then going out with the family groups to deliver the gift bags. Isn't it great for the little ones to have older ones to inspire them as role models? And it helps them to visualise their future within SCF. James and I are also building links with children and youth workers in other Christian churches in Shirley and Solihull. 9 churches are now represented at these meetings. We meet regularly to pray, share ideas and resources. There's a Churches Together youth service this evening, if you want to see what goes on. We are planning more events together. I think it's good for our children to be part of the wider church. There's blessing in unity. These are just a few photos taken at Jump, and you can see, as leaders, we have a good time as well. So prayer is actually foundational in everything that we do. And during October half term, James and I held our first prayer meeting that was specifically for children and youth. The next one will be on the 5th of January. And it's not just for people that serve with the children and the youth, but it's for everybody that would like to pray for our children and pray for our young people. The last one, I was just so encouraged to hear people pray what was on their heart. They just prayed with such passion. So I think I'm really blessed to be standing here. It's just a real opportunity of serving God in something that's so close to my heart. Here's our prayer points. Nice and easy. Three zones, three prayers. Right. I just want to pray that it's not about what I want here. It's about God's plan, really, for us this season. Just really want to pray for his guidance and to hear clearly from him. I don't want to do anything in my own strength. It's all about what he wants. I just want to pray that God, pray to God that hearts are stirred as they hear about the vision for the children's work. We do need more people. We need people to serve in big ways and people to serve in little ways. But serving with the children is a privilege, just to get to know the little ones and see them grow in Christ. As we share and invest our time in serving, we grow ourselves. We are challenged and we are changed. Jump would really benefit from more on the rota. And for the young leaders and the youth that serve there, it would be great to have people to come alongside to support and mentor. So that's a real prayer request. We're talking about reaching out and bringing other people to the bridge, but I really believe we need to look after those that are already coming on a regular basis. We can share the love of Christ, be salt and light, and impact others. I don't want the initiatives like Breastfeeding Cafe just to be a great thing that could happen anywhere. People really need to get to know us and see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. Currently, Geraldine is the only person from SCF to regularly serve at the Breastfeeding Cafe, and it's not good for her to do this on her own. Chris could also do with more of a hand at Stay and Play. My heart is really to reach more people, more parents of our little ones, and I think we need to firm up what we've got before we reach out and do new things. So those are the three areas. Okay.
Okay, we'll gather around point one, this one, point two in the middle, and point three. Let's gather around. Don't forget those arrow prayers. When we pray with our right heart, they really enter into the throne room of God. So church, let's gather around into groups. Point one, point two, point three. Amen. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Father, reach our children. Lord, disciples, salt and light. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sorry to cut the prayer, but please do take these things home. Pray for them in your home. Hallelujah. Last but by no means least is our wonderful Sally, who will come and share.
Normal time. That's me.
Wrong way.
Long way.
Right way.
That's kind of what I do. So I oversees. No, I don't. I do overseas missions. And I'm also kind of responsible for the spiritual freedom in the house. Sounds really exciting, doesn't it? Okay, I'm going to put these up because these are my pointers. I can't remember otherwise what I've put. So, first thing, opportunities for overseas mission trips in 2016. Do you know what? I don't really know. I just know that we're going to do loads of trips this year. We've definitely got one to Guyana, probably in June, although at the moment the only flights available are going via Canada, which, you know, it's not good news really. But and we've also got one going to India. But, you know, what I want to say is when you go on a mission trip, it just transforms your life. And I would love it for everybody to go on a mission trip. So really what I'm saying to you is if any of you want to go on a mission trip in 2016, let's do it. Because I know loads of places that we can go, and I know loads of people who would look after us. So we could probably go just about anywhere in the world that you want to go, and we could probably do anything that you want to do. So how about that? All right? So in 2016, can't tell you exactly, but we are going to do some mission trips, and we're going to just transform other nations as well as our own. Amen? Amen. Is that all right, Ben? Right, we're going to grow the spiritual health checkups. Yeah. Now, was it last month in November we had this workshop on a Saturday morning? And, you know, we had such a great time. I was really blessed because 11 people came and I wasn't expecting that. So that was fantastic. And, you know, it's just a really good opportunity. This is not for people who are a bit messed up. Because actually the truth is we're all pretty messed up. We're all not perfect. We've all still got wounds and hurts in our lives. Otherwise we'd be Jesus, and we're obviously not. So this is just a really good time to set aside where we just literally go through things that would perhaps hold us back from really enjoying the fullness of life that Jesus has given us. So we're going to continue to do these, and I'm hoping that the next one will be in March. So you're going to have to read your newsletters, all right? Because we can't, because the increase of things that are happening within SCF, you know, every time we have something, we can't dedicate 10 minutes to just tell you about it. So you're just going to have to start reading your newsletters. And we can't do everything either, so you pick and choose, all right? But this is great. Right, the cafe. You've heard Rich's heart, that he wants to expand the amount of times and opportunities that we use the cafe out of the lounge. Well, I want us to not just serve coffee and tea, as great as our tea and coffee is. I want it to be a place where people come and encounter Jesus. And it's not about talking, it's about demonstrating. So I want us to become really dab hands at giving spiritual readings. Oh my goodness me, I can see I've just lost some of you. What do I mean by that? You know, we can talk to people till we're blue in the face, but when you sit and you look at them and say, this is what I believe Father God wants to say to you, whoa, you have their attention. And because I've been working in the cafe at Haven Church now for a good year or so, I tell you, it's one of the most exciting things I do. I love it so much. And I know that there are many people here who want to get on and do it here. So why don't we say let's do it in 2016. So on January the 9th, we're going to hold a workshop on a Saturday, and we are going to be training you how to give words to non-Christians. It's so exciting. You know, God never lets you down. You know, the amount of times someone comes and they sit in front of me and it's like, okay. And at first you think, oh no, my mind's just gone blank. You know, but every time, Holy Spirit, what is it you want to say? What does the Father want to say to this person who's sitting here? And every time, without fail, we always have something to bring. And then you think, oh, I just made that up. And then the person starts to weep. Wow, how did you know that? Oh, wow, that's just amazing. And you think, maybe I didn't make that up. Maybe that was actually the Holy Spirit after all. And the more you do it, the more confident you become. So, January the 9th, Saturday, I'd love it for you all to come and we learn how to give spiritual readings, words of prophecy, knowledge, wisdom to people who are not yet Christians. Amen? Amen. Oh, and we're also going to be doing some healing as well. Not just to people's hearts, but also physical bodies as well. We're going to be doing that as well. Okay. And the last thing is, I guess sometimes things come out of people. And one of my real passions is to see people completely free to enjoy the liberty and freedom that Christ paid for when he died on the cross. He overcame and destroyed all the works of the enemy. So I don't want anybody to be oppressed in any way by anything other than the Holy Spirit. So, and the truth is, a lot of people are oppressed, and a lot of people do struggle. Things have happened in their life that have just changed their whole way of thinking, and it's not God's way. And they've believed lies about themselves, and it's like, that's not what God says. If I could have a pound for every person who said to me, I just don't feel worthy. Jesus has made us worthy. So I love it. And I really do. I absolutely love having opportunities to pray with people who just feel I need something to happen because I'm not enjoying the fullness of life that Jesus promised. So I'm growing my team. If you feel you want to be part of that team, then please come and see me. We're going to be doing some real good, solid teaching. You're not going to go out there as without being properly equipped. But we're going to grow that team because I think increasingly we're going to see people coming into our church who are broken and wounded. And they're going to need a little bit of TLC. Amen. So I've been really quick in my telling you what I'm about because there's something I wanted to do. You know, we hear, sorry Ben, I'm just going to go off on one now. I hear so many times, you know, Sally, how come you always see all these amazing healings everywhere else in the world and you just don't see them here? And I've been thinking about it. I think about it quite regularly actually, and I think sometimes, you know, we just don't ask. So a week last Wednesday, I was at Bingley Hall. As you know, I love doing that. And I'm just going to tell you one testimony because I want to build your faith up. Woman had polio when she was just a few months old. And as a result, one of her legs was half the size of the other one. not lengthwise, widthwise. So she couldn't put her weight on her leg, otherwise she'd fall over because it wasn't strong enough. And she's been like that all her life. So as we prayed for her, God strengthened her leg and she started walking unaided on her, if you like, want of a better word, withered leg.
Amen. Yes.
Don't you think that's pretty amazing? Sorry, I know sometimes you just have to think that one through. It's like, okay, so she couldn't put any weight on it, and then she started walking on it. That's pretty good. And then at the end of the evening, she said to me, look what I can do. She said, I have never, ever done this in my entire life. So I'm just going to demonstrate what she did. She went like this. She's never been able to do that. Amen. In her entire life. Jesus. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It is amazing, isn't it, Lawrence? And these things are happening. So the reason I'm telling you all this is that we have an opportunity today to pray for someone in our family who needs our prayers, and that is Ben. Ooh. Ooh. And the reason why we're going to be praying for Ben is that this week he had some results from an MRI scan on his back, and most of us know that Ben's back every so often goes a bit AWOL, and he's in a great deal of pain. And these MRI scans are not good, and the prognosis is not good. So I want us to, as a church, pray for Ben this morning. So I know I'm embarrassing him, but that's what I love to do. So how are we going to do this? Let's all stand. If you're in faith to believe for a miracle on Ben's back, then I want us to stand up. I'm going to ask Ben to come and stand in the middle here. If people have a real kind of like, yeah, I need to come and lay my hands on Ben, then please come forward. Those of you who have a gifting in healing, come forward and just lay your hands, because some of you have very specific gifting in that. And Jesus, we're doing this because you promised. You promised. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And so, Father, we're asking you to come and do a miracle in Ben's life. We're asking you, Father God, to come and repair his back where it's crumbling away and where vertebrae are just not there, and they're certainly not in the right place. And I don't know anything about backs, but I just know it's in a mess and only you can fix it, King Jesus. So, King Jesus, will you come and fix our pastor's back right now in the name of Jesus? We take authority over all pain and we command it to go now in Jesus' name. We speak to you back and we command you to be whole in the name of Jesus. Do something amazing, Father. Do something amazing. Because we're your children and you consider us to be worth it. You died for us. You died for us, that we might be free, have fullness of life, that you have equipped us for everything that we need for life and godliness. And we release that into Ben right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.